inquiry into our real nature. A talk given by Gene Klein, recorded at the Omega Institute in the summer of 1989.
Deep in you, you will feel the dynamic, striving power and the motive of all motives is looking for fulfillment. You had, in different moments in your life, happiness, and you have attributed this happiness to a cause. So in a certain way, you have objectified this happiness, this joy, this peace, this tranquility. You have made a state of it. You have making it objective. You have it put it in the frame of the mind. But in the moment of fulfillment, the so-called cause is not present. And the notion of somebody who has this fulfillment is also absent. It is absolutely causeless, beyond space and time. The mind can never touch it, can never find it. The mind can only feel it in a moment of the timeless moment, when the timeless and the time comes together. So in other words, the mind can never know what is beyond the mind. The mind can have a feeling, forefeeling, a glimpse, but the mind can never bring you to this fulfillment. Any technique, any system, any beliefs, any discipline can never bring you to this fulfillment. the question is now, how can we come to this quietness, to this fulfillment? If this fulfillment is timeless, beyond space and time, objectless, definable, the shortest should be to know what we are not. What we are, fulfillment, can never be known. It can only be being knowing, being knowledge. So the understanding that we are not, that means body, senses and mind, which is only an expression, an expansion of our fulfillment, of our listening, of our awareness, of our quietness. When we come really to know what we are not, then there is no more identification with it. And we can enjoy moments of quietness. That is the total absence of ourselves, but we are not. So in other words, what we are fundamentally can never be objectified. We are living in our total presence, in our absence. We have taken here the traditional form of inquiring. It means the form of dialogue, question and answer. But make it clear that the answer which may be understood, may have a clear representation in the mind. What brings you to say, I understood. But this understanding must also dissolve in the being understanding. It must be completely dissolved in silence, in beingness. Then it is understanding, real understanding. It is the understanding of our wholeness, of our completeness. So let the answer come to being understanding. So our dialogue is open. I haven't really understood.
If we're not this and we're not that, why be here?
Ask the question why you are here. Ask really deeply, what is the motive which brought you here? The moment the dynamism takes life in you, you will see that this dynamism comes from a lack of freedom, a lack of peace, a lack of tranquility in you. It is only the lack of tranquility which brought you here. But you could make it shorter. In the moment you feel the absence of tranquility, that means that your mind is immediately in agitation, in questioning, in moving. You should, in this moment, look at the mind. Listen to the mind. Listen to the agitation. In this moment, there's no more, anymore, an accomplice to agitation. And you will find that this agitation dissolves in your silence, in your presence, what you are fundamentally.
Yes, but I forget to look a million times every day.
You are here, so there's not a loss of time. Follow the sayings, follow the reasonings. You can't have it here. You can have the tranquility here.
May take place. May not take place. We have to be open without anticipation. Correct?
Not quite correct.
Good.
When you understand that you're not body, senses, and mind, what happens then? Then there's nothing more knowable. You feel yourself in a moment of not knowing, of a moment of I don't know. There's no more any direction to listen, to go, because all the directions, you know them already. So you are completely still. And the stillness is not an absence of action. In the stillness, there is presence. In this openness, you are completely open. Open without any frontier, without any center. You are open. And the openness refers to itself. It takes itself. It knows itself.
Is this what is meant by grace?
Yes. It is your total absence. To be somebody. You can never objectify it. It is undefinable. This is your question. But know how to live is your question. Live, let your question live in silence, in not knowing. But you are fundamentally, you can never know it. So when living in the not knowing, you are living completely open. You can never find yourself in assertion. You can never assert it. The moment you assert it, the moment you say it is this or it is that, you make an object of it. So it is why it is in the deep informations, it is formulated as negative. Because you cannot name it, you cannot frame it. All but this entertainment space and time and space is positive. What you are is absolutely the ultimate negativity. So come more and more familiar in your not knowing. the ultimate goal.
And it's not objectifiable. It's not objective. And any practices or disciplines cannot take you there.
No.
So are practices or disciplines meant to, are they attempts to objectify the mind, body, and senses so that you get to the point where you can be completely open?
It is right.
So in the practice that we did this morning, for example, where we pay attention to a particular sensation, the idea is to objectify that sensation in order to lead to a state of non-objectification. Something like that?
Yes.
Isn't there an exclusionary process now taking place when you objectify? Isn't there an exclusion, which means a non-openness or non-openness?
First, you must objectify. Let us say there is a sense of insecurity in you. Insecurity in you. And you are looking for security. In this moment, you should objectify totally the feeling, the sensation of insecurity, which is mainly localized in your body. So the moment you localize the fear or anxiety in your body, there's no more an accomplice in it, under the condition that your listening is completely innocent, free from all expectation, free from the mind. Then what you have objectified dissolves in your beingness, in your fullness, in your freedom. All object points to the ultimate subject. Remember yourself that you are the ultimate subject. You are the ultimate subject of all objects, of all perceived objects. Objects change, but you, the ultimate subject, never change. To see deeply in you what is unchangeable, what never changed. Before the thought appears in you, you are. When the thought disappears in you, you are. You are the eternal background. attention is our natural quality. We should familiarize ourselves with an attention without selection, without choice, with an intentional attention. The choiceless attention is multidimensional. It is even free from all dimension. This attention expanded. It becomes intelligence, and it becomes awareness, consciousness. And if there is something to do, it is only to say, to see that we are not attentive. Immediately, judgment, comparison, evaluation, justification comes in. Judgment is a movement of the mind. When there is judgment, you are not more with the fact. Then you are in memory. I beg your pardon? When you see the fact, there's no judgment. It is only in the split mind that there's judgment. And there's comparison. When you see a fact, you see it with your fullness, with your globality. When there's judgment, it comes into the mind. Then you have yourself mutilated. That you did it in the sense that you have taken yourself for a fraction, for somebody, for an independent entity. Then there are judgments, comparison.
Reflex, like a physical reflex to jump out of the way? I mean, where's the role of attention, or is that in globality of consciousness?
When you live in your wholeness and your fullness, you are free from all volition. It means all your actions are spontaneously. Doesn't go through the mind, through the discriminating mind. You function simply. You are not a functioner. You are not a doer. It's only function. It's only after a function that you attribute it to yourself. I have done it. But during the activity, there's not a doer. So it's very pedagogically just to say, I am not the doer, but I have been witness to it. Because witnessing is a superimposition of consciousness.
And in such a spontaneous action,
yes.
Who did it?
Nobody did it. It's done. It's doing it. And this spontaneous action is not reaction. It is an expression of the situation itself. This action is, I would say, aesthetic, functional. This action only is moral. Other moral actions are amoral. I beg your pardon. Can you tell it to me again? You say it again.
Okay, I'm pondering, you had mentioned before that our goal is to experience fulfillment.
Yes.
Is that the same as our purpose, being here on this planet?
Ah.
Me as a human being, us as a race, us as a, you know, human beings, is that our purpose, being on this planet, is to experience fulfillment? Or
there's
something other?
There's no purpose. ultimately speaking, there's no purpose. But if there's still in this purposelessness appears a purpose, it is only to find your real self. That's the only purpose. That means that you are really become born. But what you call your physical birth is not the real birth. The real birth is when you know yourself. Otherwise, there's no purpose. In other words, just only play. And even more than play, it is only a kind of jubilation. To the ultimate. There are many questions which appear in the mind. But the only question is, who am I? The only question. Live is a question. This is ultimate question. Live with it. But know how to live with it. Don't try to find it in the already known, in memory. You will see when you live with the question deeply, who am I? This living with the question is the answer. Is the answer. Who asks the question, who am I? Who?
Does he ask himself?
Who could ask the question otherwise? It comes from the answer itself. it is a kind of prayer. Ask the question, is praying. Because you will never have the answer. Because the question is the answer. And you ask the question, who am I? And the asking is over. Because there's no reference to anything known. Because you can never find it in the known. What happens after? There's only presence. There's only waiting, but waiting without waiting. And you will find the answer in your waiting, in your openness. But you can never objectify it. Because it's undefinable.
Sincerity of the question. Is the person really sincere in asking this question? Are they moved from someplace deeper than their mind? Are they moved by their feelings? Are they moved by an experience? Are they moved by some shock that's taken place in their life? Have they suddenly seen something new that's rearranging things so that the question becomes alive? If I look, I've asked many questions, but I'm afraid if I really honestly look at the questions that I've asked, for the most part, they all smell of me. They all have a taste of assertion or denial of my own ego, or occasionally of questioning that, but even then there's a taste related to this image that I have of myself, or an image of what I can become. So I sometimes get very pessimistic about the exchange, the traditional exchange, the questions and answers, because it seems to me that it's a momentary sort of rearrangement sometimes, but that finally what comes out is my own ego, maybe in a perhaps more disguised form, or my own, what I call my own individuality. Then there are sometimes moments when, and for a few moments I had those moments where the questions appeared, but I was smart enough not to ask them. Because in a sense, there was a not knowing. There was just a recognition that the question is misleading me, taking me off in the wrong direction. And so then there's the question of when to speak, when to ask. Do I wait for a sincere question, in quotation marks, with all the appropriate emotion